Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete chat about the impact of some key preseason injuries, general DFS strategy to employ during the first week of the season, and lineup locks for opening night.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Let's line some pockets.
What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen and Rob Reese coming at you on this Monday morning, the week of the start of the NHL season. It's only a couple of days away. We got four games on tap for Wednesday. Let's go, Robbie.
Let's do it. We're here. It's probably the only Monday that I'm looking forward to just because hockey season is finally here. And you know what's funny, Pete, is I had a couple drafts for season long over the weekend, but the times kept getting changed, the drafts kept getting pushed back, and I woke up today thinking, am I ready or what for DFS to start? Because there's none of that nonsense.
I have three drafts on Tuesday night after all the days of the summer, every single night, right? Mm-hmm. You could have slotted one in. Even this past week, it all falls on one day. We had a couple of drafts last week. We had our joint team draft, which went pretty well. It was a hits and blocks league. But yeah, we're excited to get to DFS because there is some real opportunity. We talk about the gambling all the time, but NHL DFS is a nice little niche where you can make some money with some good strategy.
And it's fun too. I mean, if you have, you know, one night and maybe there's a late game, you've got a guy from the Vancouver game or the Edmonton game in your lineup, they're not playing until 10 p.m. So you have that little added bonus, that little added intrigue your whole night. I think it's a lot of fun. And hey, if you miss out playing Wednesday, if your lineup doesn't hit, guess what? Thursday, there's a ton of games Thursday. If you miss out Thursday, there's games Friday. So you can keep doing this thing and line your own pockets.
The sun, no matter how good or bad it goes, the sun always comes up the next day in DFS and you get a clean slate to work with. If the injury implications, you deal with it on that day alone. It doesn't have to burn you and destroy your season all year long.
It's very true. That is one downside of season-long leagues. It's already happening, but who better to talk about injuries than Chris Wassel, host of Fantasy X. Nobody is more in-depth with fantasy sports, both DFS and season-long, than Chris. We finally made it to the season. How you doing, Chris?
It is finally here. The weather has changed. It feels like hockey weather, except for Wednesday. Don't worry about that. But we're good. We're good, people. Relax. Hockey season is just about here.
Good to hear, Chris, and thanks again for hopping on. Now, injuries have been a big storyline here in the preseason. Anytime guys are suiting up at full speed, these things are going to happen. The biggest one here is Sidney Crosby. You hate to see any type of uncertainty surrounding this guy, but day-to-day, undisclosed, what's your thoughts on Sidney Crosby and these injury implications?
People, relax. It's okay. Don't panic over Sidney Crosby. It is just a flesh wound. Now, okay, it's just a bruise above his ankle. It's nothing terrible, at least as of right now. It appears that he is officially listed as questionable for Thursday's game against the Sabres. That is, according to sources, a formality. Mm-hmm. So do not worry about it unless, say, something comes along the lines late Wednesday or early Thursday that there's a setback. No one is expecting any, so act as if it's like any other very minor injury that he's being held out for precautionary reasons.
And what about his teammate, Alex Galchenyuk? That one seems a little bit more murky.
That's been a very murky situation, honestly, since the weekend, where there were conflicting reports that it was looking better, then it wasn't looking better. Your best bet is to at least assume right now, unless something changes, that he is doubtful for Thursday at this point.
If you have a draft still to happen for your season-long leagues, would you steer away from picking Galchenyuk in a later round and maybe go for a Nikita Gusev or another one of those deep sleepers?
I'm running to my clicker button and hitting Gusev right now as opposed to Galchenyuk. And one of the reasons, honestly, is because Galchenyuk, not so much that he's a notoriously slow starter, but injuries like this early on in training camp, especially because his did happen relatively early within the first week of training camp, have implications as the season goes on, and it can kill the season. I mean, look, I look at guys like Trocheck last year who got hammered. One injury did him in, and then he had a nagging injury. Then it just seems to snowball. Wayne Simmons was a good example. He had a groin injury in camp, and then he had the hernia, supposed core injury. Then it went back to the groin. Then he hurt his leg. And things like that are tough to recover from, because what happens is the injuries often mount.
Hey, Chris, so some of these teams that are dealing with injuries, like the Vancouver Canucks with Brock Besser, uncertainty, also the Washington Capitals are, you know, Evgeny Kuznetsov is suspended for the first three games. Where are you looking at those two lineups for DFS value and streaming value for Vancouver and the Caps?
Vancouver's a tough one. Obviously, we had no clue what's going to happen with Besser as far as the concussion protocol. He could be ready to go by late in the week. He may not be. You never know with these things. After all, there's no such thing as a mild concussion. So going through this, my value play, ironically, for Wednesday night was Jacob Markstrom, just because they're playing Edmonton and he's only 7,800 on FanDuel. It just helps. It helps itself. It's like Honda, the car that runs itself. Edmonton is the team that helps everyone else in this case. That's one way to look at it. I'm always looking at Alex Edler, even though, look, is he the value of value plays? Close, because he's still only 5,100. The hilarious part is, when you look at defensemen, the Vancouver-Edmonton matchup just on Wednesday alone, he is the highest-priced guy. Think about that for a second. He is the highest-priced player.
Wow, that's sobering.
That's really sobering. I mean, look, I understand. Four-game slate, short slate, but when you see a guy, even on FanDuel, that's just only a hint, tick above 5,000, that is extremely sober. And a lot of that has to do with basically Edmonton's power play, so that's just a whole other mess entirely. Even as a fun shot, I'd look at a guy like Quinn Hughes is only 4,000. I mean, there's a lot of options to poke around. I mean, if you want to get dangerous, you can go Tanner Pearson at 4,700, just because he had 8 points in his last nine games last year for Vancouver. A lot of people forget about that as well. So there are lots of targets to go with for Vancouver. Now, Washington, on the other hand, Washington's a little bit more murky. Obviously, Ovechkin is going to play Wednesday. I know he's listed as day-to-day, but barring something bizarre, unforeseen, and look, the Russian never breaks down. Never.
Never misses so, time.
I am interested to see what Jacob Rana does.
I have him in my lineup, actually, Chris. That's a
good
one.
I would definitely have him in. Again, matchup-based sort of feel towards it. Banner night in St. Louis. Oh, does it feel like a 4-2 Washington win or what? I mean, it just has that look where you're looking at guys like him. My normal stopgap, Michael Kempney, sadly not going to play on Wednesday, guys. Sorry. I know it's a disappointment for everybody. He was such a cheap plug last year with all those block shots.
Before we get too deep into the DFS stuff, Chris, can you just give me an overarching theme or trends that you look for when setting a lineup for maybe someone that's new to playing FanDuel?
Absolutely. At least early on short slates, I'm looking for simple line stacks. It's as easy as going on, you know, the NHL site, going through sites like Daily Faceoff, et cetera, where you can sit there and set your lineup accordingly. First few weeks, I like to go with a typical, what I like to call a 2-3-4 setup. It's okay to stack top line and then go with two defensemen scattered at throughout any of the slate. And then your goalie, you like to ideally not handcuff yourself unless it's a slate of five or less games. What I mean by that is, say, let's say I have three players from Washington going on Wednesday night. I wouldn't sit there and play Jordan Binnington, for example.
Right, okay.
Or, you know, and that sort of thing. The other thing I would like to recommend to people always is, on short slates, do not double stack the defenseman. Do not go Carlson and Burns on, on Wednesday night. Not only do you end poorly, but based on the teams, it's not always good. And the other thing, too, is early on, it's okay to look for a ton of value. Don't get cute with it, but like it's been mentioned, look for the Edlers of the world. Look for the Michael Vrant, you know, look for the Michael Furlands of the world, Jacob Vranas. Not the value tier, but maybe just above it, like in that $4,000 to $5,000 range where you can fill a roster really quickly.
Hey, Chris, so when you look at a small slate like this for Wednesday and you see an overwhelming favorite like Toronto against Ottawa, how much do you look at the against-the-grain play and maybe invest in a top line like a Tkachuk with Drake Batherson or a Tkachuk stacked with Thomas Chabot? There's a lot of good value in the Senators, and when you look at how everybody's probably going to stack up on Maple Leafs, rightfully so, there's some good value for the Sens.
There's excellent value. Now if you look at this, and it's at least on FanDuel, it's the old four dollars per point, or as I like to call it, the 400 per point rule. Chabot is $700 below Tyson Barrie. He's 300 below Morgan Riley, who ironically is a relatively cheap play on Wednesday night. Somehow Barrie is higher priced. I don't know. Now, there's other value, of course, involved too, which we can lightly delve into. Tkachuk is the big one. Tkachuk, heavy hits and blocks, not so much block shots, but provides a lot of the peripheral and a lot of the annoyance that Toronto hates most. Toronto hates forwards that will fight back. So go figure. But his point potential is excellent on Wednesday, and he fares very well. Drew Batherson, basically because of a Rob Higgins boxy by proxy sort of principle, has to be considered as well.
And Colin White, too, right? I mean, if he's playing with Tkachuk.
You have to lump White in. White's only risk, and it's always been this way, Pete and Rob, it's his shot volume. You never know what kind of shot volume you're going to get with Colin White. He can go 5-6 games with averaging a shot on goal and then pop 4 or 5 shots out of nowhere. It's a risk, but it's a small one given how low-owned these guys are going to be. Tkachuk will be less than 10% owned.
The Coyotes and Ducks are playing on Thursday night, and John Gibson and Antti Raanta, both team starting goalies, are dealing with nagging injuries. What's the pulse there, Chris? Are you concerned about either one?
Okay, right now, the bigger concern is going to be on Antti Raanta, and it's not just for the fact that it seems like he always gets injured around this time of year. But with Darcy Kuemper ending the season so well last year, it appears likely that Arizona very well could go with Kuemper on Thursday. As for John Gibson, it looks like he was pulled out due to a precautionary reason for a middle body injury. Yes, middle body is going to become a vogue thing this year.
That's a new one.
Finally, at long last. Do not worry. We were told basically in so many words from Eric Stevens, the intrepid reporter from The Athletic, that Gibson is okay. They were just worried. It's nothing to be alarmed about.
Hey, Chris, so for the preseason, looking back at it and moving forward with the implications for the regular season, is there one guy that you're more likely to draft in fantasy or pick up off the waiver wire because he performed so well in the preseason?
The big one for me, and I say this, and then I see literally 5 minutes before the segment starts, I go, oh God, it's happening again. It was Jesper Boqvist, just because he looked absolutely NHL ready, and then I see a possibility that he may be yo-yoed or around the Devils lineup. So I had to pause, pivot, and naturally go with one of the guys that I saw that I was absolutely impressed with. Actually, was Nikita Gusev, honestly. Gusev looked every bit as good as he was hyped to be, and maybe more so in some ways because of what I'll deem Robin Pete, as the Joe Sakic-like wrist shot.
Wow.
Where nice. it looks like it's going at 0.5 miles per hour, and then it's by you. I was fortunate enough to see him practice, and I saw it once and was like, I'm sold. You know, there's obviously other players. We mentioned Jacob Rana, who looked much better this time around this preseason. Another guy that's interesting enough, not going to get a lot of press, and then he got hurt, unfortunately, was Alex Tuck. Alex Tuck looked really good this preseason.
Can you give us your final FanDuel lineup for Wednesday, Chris?
Final FanDuel lineup. Here we go. We got the contrarian of contrarian lineups. I do indeed have Kachuk and White in my one stack, just because, look, that's 10,500 right there. I don't have to worry about spending so much money. I do have Shabbat in as one guy. I have Morgan Riley as another because of Ottawa's penalty kill. So I did go a little bit expensive on defense. I have Jacob Markstrom because, look, he's 7,800. I'm going to save some money and see shots. And then after that, I filled in a few things along the way. I have Tanner Pearson, of course.
Obviously.
I had to. And I have Jacob Rana because we've mentioned Jacob Rana so many times on the show that I would be remiss if I did not mention him. One thing that I did do that was a little bit unique for my third winger and different for everybody that's out there, yes, I have Mark Stone in my lineup.
Whoa.
Just because based on what I saw last night against San Jose. And I do have Kevin LeBlanc.
I think Vegas has something to prove here. The first two games of the season against the Sharks, it's going to be feisty. The Golden Knights are going to be scoring. I like that pick. Also some injury implications for their rookie Cody Glass. But Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisWasselDFS, one of the best follows out there. Thanks, my man.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Some fascinating tidbits from Chris there. One thing in particular to me, he wasn't so worried about John Gibson, and I get why, you know, if the team and the reporters kind of put out that fire, but go back to last season, and when the injury report started to list John Gibson as day-to-day, it was day-to-day, he would come back, play a game or two, then it was week to week. Next thing you know, we saw Ryan Miller starting for the Ducks.
And the Ducks also have an injury to their rookie center, maybe top line center Sam Steele. So all of a sudden, this team that does not have enormous depth has some young talent that we're both aware of and we like, but you start to look at an injury here, injury there, they cannot sustain it. And another thing that I really liked from Chris, he seemed to be all over the Canucks. I think that's a good play. I saw the Oilers lineup the other day. They had Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and McDavid all on separate lines. It didn't look too pretty.
Well, we'll see what happens Wednesday night. There's no way hell would freeze over before those guys are separated for the full season. I give that one period max. I will say, though, going back to the injury note, the Antti Raanta thing, too, at least with the Coyotes, you have in drafts, you probably handcuffed Raanta with Kemper, so you're safe there. But for Gibson, if you don't have anything to handcuff him there, and they play behind probably one of the worst blue lines in the league. So the John Gibson thing this year already, to me, is raising a lot of red flags.
So involving the Coyotes goalies, how about our four-man goalie unit in our joint league, right? We got Vasilevsky as our keeper. We had Varlamov as our number two. And then we went all in, like we said we would, on the Coyotes guys. We got some good value on Raanta and then Kemper as well. Kemper is one of the best sleepers out there. Nobody even knows who he is.
And people on Twitter were kind of coming after me at one point. Oh, Kemper, you know, that's out of left field. No, it's not. Were you not playing fantasy last year? I mean, this was the best goalie from January 1 to the end of the season.
55 games and 925. Just ring that stat into your brain over and over and over, and you like Darcy Kemper more and more every time you hear it.
And for DFS plays, one interesting storyline I'm looking at on Wednesday is the banner-raising ceremony in St. Louis. Goalie Master, I believe, will actually be in the house for that. He's going with a couple big-time Blues fans. But I don't want to rain on the Blues parade, but I think this Caps team, they played Carolina yesterday. Tom Wilson was yapping at Rod Brindamore. I mean, we're already in peak midseason form here. So I would have to say there might be some against-the-grain value with the Caps, even without Kuznetsov.
My goodness, some of these preseason finales, right? The Caps, Hurricanes, and the Golden Knights Sharks with Evander Kane and Tom Wilson just wreaking havoc. I mean, this is crazy stuff. And both of those arenas were packed.
Yeah.
Did you see that arena in Raleigh for the
18,000
preseason?
18,000 plus. Yeah.
Wow. There were a couple of years ago where they didn't get a crowd like that all year, and they really, they've been bringing it, even in the preseason. So something to look forward to here. Tom Wilson, though, only 4,700 for opening night. There, I could see them spoiling that party. Mm-hmm. The Caps just lost in Game 7 in the first round. They're going to come back with a vengeance.
And one thing for San Jose, too, I don't know if I would go too heavy on the roster against Vegas. I like San Jose a lot, and I have a gut feeling they're going to win that game. But they lost their captain in the offseason. You know, that first game of the regular season, I don't know if there's going to be a guy that's really going to calm them down so much. Maybe Jumbo Joe is the guy or Brent Burns. But I might fade the Sharks just to see how they look as a complete unit in the regular season.
I like the Paul Stastny, 5,200. Pacioretty's under 7,000. You could stack those two very easily. And then, yeah, for some of these other games like Toronto, did you see William Nylander's price, 5,600? I mean, if you're building a lineup for DFS and you don't have Nylander in at that price, you're playing with the wrong deck.
One major strategy that I'll throw out there is last season at the start of the year, there was Timo Meier for the San Jose Sharks. His price was around, I would say, 4,200 to 4,800 for the first 2 months of the season, basically, when he was already on like a 35-goal pace for the year. So a couple guys I'll throw out there that could repeat that success in DFS would be Jakob Vrána, who Chris Wassel already gave the stamp of approval on. I think there's Kevin LeBanc for the San Jose Sharks, who is in the low 4,000 price range, who's on the top power play. And then I would look at JT Miller from the Canucks as another guy that has a 30-goal potential in him, and his price, I really don't see it fluctuating too much unless his ice time goes up to 20 minutes per game, which it probably won't.
I like the strategy, especially for this opening night, to tap into each line so you can get like either an Oshie or a Tom Wilson on the wing, and then you can get Vrana from the separate line, depending on who you pick. On the Maple Leaf side, there's Kapanen on one line and Andreas Janssen on the other line. You can tap into one or both of the Vegas lines. I think it's a good strategy, especially if you like those teams. And I do like I said, I like the Capitals in that game. I like the Golden Knights in that game.
Now, when you're picking a goalie, I think goalie is one of the, if not the most important position in a FanDuel contest. A lot of these games are what I would say a coin flip. Even the Edmonton-Vancouver game, I wasn't as high on Vancouver in that one as Chris was. Is there a goalie on the slate to you that kind of jumps out? I know Freddie Anderson's the most expensive. They're obviously paying Ottawa. They're playing Ottawa, but are you really going to throw $8,900 on that position?
No, I mean, I like Holtby's price for $8,200 at St. Louis. So you get to the low eights and you have an elite goalie with his team having something to prove, even without Kuznetsov. I would go Holtby there. Markstrom's a good pick, though. I mean, I know you're saying maybe proceed with caution, but that is a team that got a lot better in the offseason. Even without Besser, they could handle the Oilers in that game very easily. So Markstrom, clear number one goalie, coming in fresh. I like that pick a little bit that Chris had.
It's always the whole Connor McDavid thing. I just get skeeved out every time that they're going against whatever goalie it is. I don't care who they're playing. I just have that gut feeling sometimes. Oh, boy, McDavid, Draisaitl are popping off.
So I mentioned the two lineup locks for me, William Nylander, 5,600, and Brady Tkachuk that Chris was saying. I mean, he convinced me. I was already slotting him into my lineup, 5,800. Even if that game is a bloodbath and the Leafs win 7-2, I mean, I think Brady Tkachuk could factor into both goals and play a big offensive role, the feisty nature against the Maple Leafs. And then I like Justin Falk as well. I mean, St. Louis Blues debut, even if I'm picking Holtby, I would go with him for some category coverage and some shots on goal against the Capitals.
I'm literally building this lineup on air, so this is what I would call a Rob Reese gut check lineup. So I'm just going to read it down from the top. Colin White, Ottawa. Austin Matthews, Toronto. Max Pacioretty needs no addition for the Vegas Golden Knights. I've got Evander Kane. I mean, how can you not roster him at this point? JT Miller for the Canucks. Jakob Vrána, the Chris Wassel play. I'm going with two. I will put EK65 in my lineup to get that Sharks exposure.
Ooh.
The other D for me is kind of inconsequential. Just get a value guy. I mean, throw Radko Gudas in there. Maybe get some blocks for you. But my goalie, oh boy, this is where it gets a little dicey. If you like Holtby, I do too, but we've got to have some diversity on the show. So I'm going to pull a 180 on my earlier thought. I'm going to go with Jacob Markstrom for the Canucks just because Chris Wassel likes it, and he is the DFS legend. So my gut has to go with Wassel on this one. Thanks for the play, Chris.
And you can definitely get in a nice little Maple Leaf stack here. If you go Nylander, Kapanen, from separate lines, and then you get like a Tyson Barrie for 6,100. Sign me up. Let the goals pour in all night long. I also like Elias Pettersson, only 6,700. That's an elite player. He's near the top of our rankings with, you know, top 30 overall players. You get him for under 7,000. I really like that. And then Pacioretty and Stastny is just a great play with a lot to prove against the team that shocked the world and ended their season on a sour note last year.
And if you haven't played DFS before, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese, Pete's at NHL Jensen, or we're both at NHL Fantasy. Even our producer's getting into DFS this year, so hit him up at AirChecked on Twitter too. If you've got any questions, random lineup locks, or you're feeling a certain way about an underdog, we'll definitely take all types of over-under questions or lineup picks, whatever you have, throw it at us.
Yeah, we're going to be doing more DFS in the season, but still season long, still gambling. So whatever format you're playing, throw the questions in our direction. For Bobby Bender, Chris Wassel, thanks again for joining us so much. Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, looking forward to opening night, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
NHL season just around the corner. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.